Human biology is so finely tuned that less than a kilobyte of information can stop the world. That's the topic today on Mind Matters News.
Welcome to Mind Matters News, where artificial and natural intelligence meet head on. Here's your host, Robert J. Marks.
Greetings. No one needs to be told about the coronavirus, also known as COVID-19. Coronaviruses derive their name because under an electron microscope, each virion is surrounded by a corona or a halo. COVID-19 is a contraction. CO stands for corona, VI for virus, and D for disease. COVID-19. The 19, everybody thinks it's the 19th occurrence of it, but no, the 19 is there because it first appeared in 2019. The coronavirus has been written about from almost all angles, but our guest today has a unique take on COVID-19. Daniel Andres Diaz Pachon is a research assistant professor in the Division of Biostatistics at the University of Miami. He's also a senior researcher at the Evolutionary Informatics Lab. Daniel, how did I do in the pronunciation of your name?
Great. You did great. Thank you, Bob, for having me here.
Okay. Well, welcome. Now, you have four names. I notice that most Latinos do have four names, but that's not the Americanization of your name. You go by Daniel Diaz here. How come you have four names in Colombia, which is your home country, but you only have two names here? Well, a first name, a middle name, and a last name. What's the deal there?
Yeah, the point is that we usually have two names and two last names. First, the father last name and then mother's last name. And we go for those things formally, but usually we just call people for the first name and the first last name, just when it is not that formal. So that's the way to go.
So Diaz is your father's name then, is that right?
Exactly. Yeah, last name.
And this happens in all Latino countries. I have a student from Spain. He does exactly the same thing. You said there's an exception, though, and that's in Brazil.
Yes, in Brazil, the first last name is the mother's one, and the second is the father's one. So if I were a Brazilian, the situation would be the opposite. It would be Daniel Andres Pachon Diaz.
Okay, well, the Portuguese always did things backwards, right? So anyway, yeah. Welcome to Mind Matters. Daniel, everybody knows about DNA, which is the carrier of the genetic information for life, but let me review it very quick. There's four nucleotides, and they're ACGT. They're also referred to as basis pairs if you pair them up. And stuff I know about it from the web, I'm not an expert in it, but if you stretched out DNA, it's about 6 feet long. It has over 3 billion nucleotides in it, the AGCT amino acids. And you would think that the more complicated the life form, the more nucleotides it would have. But it says on the net that the marbled lungfish has the biggest animal genome ever found, and its genome contains 133 billion basis pairs. And that's compared to 133 billion compared to only 3 billion for the human being. Now, each base pair is equivalent to 2 bits of information. And a byte is 8 bits, and a kilobyte is 1,000 bytes. The term bit was first used in the 1948 paper by Claude Shannon that founded information. It's the foundation of so-called Shannon information theory. Dr. Diaz, you point out that a small amount of information can make a big change, and that's the case with the COVID-19 virus. You point out some other examples where just a teeny bit of information can make a big change. Could you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, thank you. So the point now, going back to the name bit, it is kind of an abbreviation of binary digit. When Claude Shannon defined it, it was the way that he did it. So thinking about different examples in which information can make a big change or can move a lot of matter and energy, just think about the situation in which a nuclear bomb can be made to explode just by giving an enter in a keyboard or something like that. That's a lot of energy that is moved through a small amount of information that is just proportioned to a computer. So that's really an extreme example, but what would happen in case of a nuclear bomb were to explode? And the second example that I could give to that is, well, how some small knowledge can produce high dividends for people who get to acquire that particular knowledge, for instance, in future policies. Think about, in our countries is sadly or common sometimes to have this situation in which, for instance, the central bank is going to change the interest rates for the whole country. And what happens is that for some reason, the information is known by a small amount of people outside. And when that small amount of people gets that knowledge, then what happens is that they can produce a lot of money out of one day, 24 hours. It can move a lot of money, just that small amount of information, and they can get rich basically in one day.
Well, that's the reason that the SEC is monitoring inside information. There has been a number of congressmen that have been targeted and fingered as performing inside information from information that they get from classified meetings. And that's a big problem. I think it used to be legal. I don't know if it's illegal now or not. And you talk about the nuclear response. The president of the United States carries around he doesn't carry it around. He has a Secret Service guy that carries around the so-called football. And he just has to enter a little bit of information to start a thermonuclear strike against whoever he wants to. You mentioned that, and this was my thought. There was a contest by the New Yorker where they talked about the biggest impact of simple typos on headlines and such. And they had a contest, and one was, for example, if the book on Darwinism, of Survival of the Fittest, was changed to Survival of the Fattest. Right? So you change the I to A, and boop, it means something totally different. And the one that I remember from the New Yorker competition was an ad for Small Room for Rent. And they made one letter change, and it came out Small Room for Runt. So yeah, very little bit of information can really change things around quite a bit.
Yeah, you're right. Now that you mentioned that, you make me remember there are websites in which they show how small typos in chat conversations can destroy relationships. Actually, it is really funny.
Oh yes, yes, yes. Especially automatic spell checking that you don't. You don't exactly figure out. Yeah, kind of strange. How does a small information change relate to the coronavirus?
Well, that's something that got thinking like some weeks ago, and I realized that it is only 30,000 base pairs of information in the RNA that the coronavirus has. That thing is equivalent basically to 60,000 bits. Or that would be 7.5 kilobytes.
Okay, if I could stop you there. So you're saying that humans have 3 billion base pairs.
Yep.
And the coronavirus only has 30,000 base pairs.
That's really small, yeah.
Yeah, that's really small. So they're very far from human, which is a good thing. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. No, exactly. That's true. Precisely when we compare those 30,000 base pairs, which is 60,000 bits, to the amount of information that we are used to work with today, that's going to be a very small amount of information in comparison with most things that we do in a computer, actually in a just regular chat conversation. If you use WhatsApp, 7.5 kilobytes is just the size of a sticker, which is just a really small image that is sent in the conversation.
Yes. In fact, I did something before our broadcast, because I thought about 100 or 10 kilobytes and what that was. And I wanted to get an image which was about 10 kilobytes. So I finally entered up on a 10 by 10 bit square of totally black pixels. And that itself, compressed by a JPEG algorithm, was only 10 kilobytes. 10 kilobytes is nothing.
Yeah, it's nothing from what we are used to work with right now, but still, it's a lot of information, but we are so used to work with a so monumental amounts of information that that feels like nothing.
It is. Yeah, that's really amazing. Now, you also mentioned that, then I guess I should have known this, I didn't, that there's a bunch of coronaviruses, and this one deviates from another coronavirus by just a little bit.
Yes, exactly. So this is like kind of a mutation for other coronaviruses coming from bats in China, with which it was found that it has an 88% similarity. So what mutated is about 12%. And that 12% corresponds to 0.9 kilobytes or 72.2 kilobits, which is really even much less than the original size.
Okay, we can actually talk about that as 900 bytes, right?
Exactly.
Which is really nothing. You think of a 10x10 black square, or that sticker on WhatsApp.
Exactly.
Now, this 900 bytes of information, everybody knows, they shut down the world economically. But you mentioned that there are other interesting side effects to this 900 bytes that is launched this great epidemic, pandemic across the world. What are some of those?
Yeah, this is really interesting because, again, in that spirit of seeing how a small amount of information can move the whole world, in fact, and can move a lot of energy and matter, I was thinking of some examples for this situation. So having this conversation with a colleague, we went to look at EPA information about, well, what's usually considered the most polluted cities in the US, Los Angeles and New York City. And what we found actually is that for the last 40 years, it is this particular time in which the population has been locked down, in which for the first time, it's actually a healthy air quality in those cities. For the first time in 40 years, that's quite amazing, I think. That's quite revealing because these cities have had strong policies trying to enforce changes. And you can see actually how those policies have affected in the quality of the air in the last decades, but nothing come close to what has happened in these last 2 months. It is amazing.
There's additional impact besides this, I think some of which we already know.
Exactly. Some of those are, for instance, in a record of unemployment claims, which is actually a record. It is a number that we haven't seen before in history here in the US. If you look at that data from the Department of Labor here in the country, it is skyrocketing right now. And that is, again, only produced by these 72.2 kilobits, which is really, really amazing. I mean, death tolls, we can consider that, but that's being disputed by some parts. But other things that we can look at also is the Dow Jones Index and Nasdaq Index, which is what moves the stock market. Even Nasdaq indexes, you know, that was an interesting situation for me to look, because Nasdaq usually measures the how technology companies are doing in the market, and it is coming down too. The only exception is the Zoom stock. That is also skyrocketing. That's something really cool if you were to know before that this situation was happening. It would be amazing to have some money invested in Zoom.
I also think Amazon.com is really flourishing today, and probably Walmart.com. We go to Walmart.com and get groceries and stuff delivered all the time. And I'm sure,
exactly.
I'm sure their stock is really going up. So everybody isn't suffering. You mentioned the environmental impact. I'm looking at a page right now from CNN Travel that say the headline is "People in India can see the Himalayas for the first time in decades as the lockdown eases air pollution." So now the Himalayas can be seen where they couldn't have been before because of all the air pollution blocking the visualization of it. So this is really, yeah, just fascinating stuff. It really shows the biology and our system here, in some senses, is really fine-tuned. We read about fine tuning of the universe, but there's kind of a fine tuning of the biology of the ecosystem, of our economics, et cetera, et cetera. And that's a little bit scary. So what is your takeaway from all of this?
Well, my takeaway, as I started saying, is that I really think that information is more fundamental to nature than matter and energy and other things, because what we're seeing here is just a really nice example of how this small amount of information can produce this big change, not only in small area, but it's the whole world that is paralyzed. You know, it is really interesting to think about it from the perspective that it doesn't matter if it is if a country is governed by the left or by the right, or if it is a socialist or a capitalist society. What is happening right now has the whole world paralyzed, and it is only 72 kilobits. So from that perspective, it's really interesting what is happening. I mean, there is a primacy of information, as some physicists have said in the past. It is maybe that bit before it, that is this idea in which the information comes before matter, and actually it is the primary stuff of the universe. I think it's a nice example of that situation. Of course, it does not prove in this situation that information is generating matter or energy, but what it's showing is how this small amount of information can produce that big change in a lot of things that we know.
That's fascinating. Bit before it. I must admit, I've never heard that phrase before, but it means that the information must come before the matter and the organization of the matter.
Yes, it was John Wheeler, a well-known physicist in the second part of the 20th century, who coined the phrase.
Wow, that's fascinating. Well, we certainly have bit before it, because this 900 kilobytes has really changed the world. Thank you, Dr. Diaz. Our guest today has been Dr. Daniel Diaz. He's a research assistant professor in the Division of Biostatistics at the University of Miami. And so until next time, be of good cheer.
This has been Mind Matters News with your host, Robert J. Marks. Explore more at mindmatters.ai. That's mindmatters.ai. Mind Matters News is directed and edited by Austin Egbert. The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the speakers. Mind Matters News is produced and copyrighted by the Walter Bradley Center for Natural and Artificial Intelligence at Discovery Institute.